The Blazers Edge Podcast with Dave Deckard.
I'm a little distracted. I think the Blazers are still scoring on Denver.
And Phil Nasons.
Man, that was a beatdown. I knew that they would win big, but I didn't think that big. And they are still scoring. You can hear the balls bouncing in the background. And you can hear the voice of Bill Shonley saying, Rip City! Welcome to the Blazers Edge Podcast. My name is Phil Nasons, and I'm the co-host of this amazing weekly radio show all about the Portland Trail Blazers. We're sponsored by BlazersEdge.com. We're heard daily at 7:30 Eastern on Max Sports channels. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're at BlazersEdge.com. And joining me is my co-host. Please welcome the exalted Poobah himself, Dave Deckard. Welcome to your show.
Well, it's amazing to be here. We can't lose, just like the Blazers. It's been a great week, and it's good to be here with you.
It's great to be here with you. You know what? We had a lot of great feedback, and that's a great thing. We had some reviews over at iTunes, some good stuff. I mean, people are liking this show, and I didn't think that they wouldn't, really, to be honest with you. The Blazers, though, they're the reason for the season because they are just tearing apart teams. They ripped apart my Knicks. Boy, that was embarrassing. I mean, I don't know what to say about that poor club that I haven't said on my website a few times.
But yeah, that was bad. I mean, might as well dive right in and get the pain over early because...
Yeah, I like to do that, yes.
It wasn't just... I mean, the Knicks were tired. You got to give them that. Carmelo Anthony's knee is sore. You got to understand that. But I can't believe that they came into that game, a game with no Robin Lopez, a game with no LaMarcus Aldridge. I mean, Joel Freeland and Thomas Robinson are starting. And the Knicks still don't defend the perimeter. I mean, if it were me, I would say, look, let Thomas Robinson and Joel Freeland beat us. Muscle them out for rebounds. Make sure they don't get offensive rebounds. But other than that, they can do whatever they want. I'm going to keep my guys on Damian Lillard. I'm going to keep my guys on Wesley Matthews. Stay home. And the Blazers basically picked them apart. Basically one or two passes, and Portland had any open shot that they wanted. Most of those were from the perimeter. And Nikola Batum, Wesley Matthews just tore him apart with three-pointers. And you can't do that. How else are the Blazers going to score? It was amazing. It was as bad of an approach as I can remember.
You don't watch the Knicks much, do you? Because they do that every game. Derek Fisher, I don't even want to get into that. But
You can. Oh, I love. You know, people love Knicks misery, I think, because they look at the Knicks and say, you have an unlimited budget, which you flaunt all over the place. And this is what you did with it. I mean, people don't get tired of hearing that stuff. It's like every villain from Little Orphan Annie or whatever, you know, that every rich guy who gets their comeuppance. And that's about what the Knicks are right now.
Okay, now you saw me a few weeks ago when I wrote about the Knicks. And it is still the same. They're an embarrassment to New York City. They're an embarrassment to basketball. They're an embarrassment to, I don't even know what to say. They're awful. And they're horrible. But I still watch them because that's what I do. And unfortunately, they're just, oh, man. Derek Fisher is not a good coach. I'm sorry. I hate to judge a guy who's just starting out. And obviously, he's never coached before. That's painfully obvious. But even someone who has a modicum of basketball IQ, and I don't think Derek Fisher does, would know to let Joel Freeland kill him inside and stop Wesley Matthews and try to stop Damian Lillard and try to stop Nicholas Batum from smoking threes on them. But he's not clever enough to do that. Now, I don't know why that is. And right now, I don't care. All I care about is the fact that my New York Knicks, a team I have supported for 45 years now, are the worst. This is the worst Knicks team I've ever seen.
Yeah. smoking threes, you better be careful there. You're going to give Wes Matthews a new three-point sign after he cans one. Now it's the bow and arrow, but smoking threes is frankly a little more Portland than that. So maybe you should write that in.
Yeah, okay. You know what, though? I'm going to give him another title in a little while in this show.
Well, you're always creative, Phil, so that'll be great. But yeah, frankly, you know, the Knicks, there's nothing you can do about them. You have to just shovel them on the garbage heap at this point. Fisher stepped into an impossible situation and is not doing well in it, unsurprisingly. What you hope as a Blazer fan is that Chicago still wants Carmelo Anthony enough to clear a lot of cap space. And then somehow that ends you up with Mirotić in the deal. That would be okay. I still can dream about that. That's not going to happen. But, you know, even if they were to trade the guy away, that the Blazers would get him as a long shot. But see, that's my secret hope. I think that's why the Knicks suck, is that the universe is just waiting for the Blazers to get Nikola Mirotić.
He's not going to do it. The Knicks are going to wind up with him. They'll have to if they're going to make a trade for Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, but they don't keep anybody. I mean, come on. Right. Yeah, it's just like, you know, they'll trade him away for the next good-looking veteran that can't help them.
With bad knees and a history of missing more than 20 games a season, 30 games a season, maybe, you know what they might do? They might bring Steve Nash over next season. I'm thinking that's what the Knicks will do next. I think they need another point guard who can't move.
Well, yeah, and they'll trade away half the team for him.
So. Yeah, of course. Oh, geez. Oh, boy, I tell you what, you know right how to turn that dagger, don't you?
Yeah, believe me. We Blazer fans have experienced all kinds of misery. We know how to inflict it on others. We're just in the corner saying, it's not us. We've won, 9-10 now. So we're good.
That's right, 9-10. And they took care of business against Oklahoma City, and that made my 3-1 prediction very good. I was going to go back and cut out of that little portion of my show to play today about my prediction, but I decided against it, and it's probably a better thing. But one thing that I'm all for is Blazers Edge Night, folks. Don't forget, it's March 30th, and we need your help. Go over to Blazers Edge, and the link will be there in everything that Dave and I do together, and help out some young fella become, or young lady, become a Portland Trail Blazers fan for life. I can't see a better way of spending $13, can you?
No, it's absolutely true. And, you know, karma helps. So, help somebody else enjoy this wonderful season that the Blazers are experiencing, and it makes a huge difference. So for the price of a couple cups of coffee, really, 1/10 of your grocery bill for a week, you know, eat some macaroni and cheese and send somebody to a Blazer game, change their life. It's great.
Oh, I'm all for that. In fact, that's what I'll probably do later on today, is make my contribution, because I'm all for it. I was thinking about that last night. I said, you know, I remember when I was a kid how fun it was to go and watch the Knicks play, even though they weren't very good. And I said, you know what? I think that's what I'm going to do. And I challenge all of you out there to do the same. One ticket, two tickets, help us out and help those kids out, because that is a worthwhile, worthwhile deal all the way around. And plus, like Dave said, this is the best Blazers season to do it too, because they are rolling. They've won 9 out of 10. How do you stop the Portland Trailblazers?
Well, you are the Houston Rockets. You can probably do it. The Memphis Grizzlies can probably do it. But short of that, I still think the Spurs can do it. But short of that, you have a real hard time right now. We're going to see tonight as we record, they play the Toronto Raptors, best team in the East. Atlanta Hawks could be somewhat of a challenge, but boy, you know, you start looking at the schedule and it's amazing how different the schedule looks, say, when you're the Blazers, as opposed to, I hate to go back to them, the Knicks. But, you know, I do some research as teams approach on our schedule, and you look at New York and it's like, oh, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. And then you start scanning down the Blazers schedule and you're like, wow, they're in a pretty easy stretch. It's like, no, they're not in a pretty easy stretch. They're actually just playing that well that you're starting to fear nobody. So the Blazers aren't going to be stopped. They're probably going to be contained, but you've got enough teams like the Lakers on the schedule, to, to tide you over, basically. It's a little bit of a tough stretch in January. Like I said, Toronto, Atlanta, Orlando, Clippers, San Antonio again, Memphis again. That's kind of scary. Phoenix, Washington, all those guys are on there, Cleveland. But you're not going to, I mean, the team's not going to drop below 500 overall, obviously. And the team's not going to play 500, probably. They're going to stay above. So at this point, they've gotten enough of a start where they can just, you know, play 500 ball through the season and still make the playoffs.
This was the start we were talking about on my show, too. Get off to a fast start and let everyone else catch up. And that's good. And this schedule, you know what? I'm a little nervous, though, about this Monday game with the Lakers, only because those are like traps. You know, you play those sorry teams like the Lakers, and those are traps. Now, what about LaMarcus Aldridge? Let's talk about our Blazers here for a minute, and not all these other people. We'll talk about them in a minute. LaMarcus Aldridge, what is his health for tonight against Toronto?
I personally have not heard yet. You would think that there's only so long that upper respiratory infection can last. But those of you who've ever had one know that sometimes they go on and on. And I think you have to be really careful because these things are contagious. So you have to keep them away. I think you err on the side of cautious. He's been in light practice. We know this, but we don't know yet officially if he's going to play.
We hope he is. We hope he gets healthy first, though. That's the most important thing. We don't want a situation like in the NHL where everybody's got the mumps because no one quarantined these fellas. So get well soon, LaMarcus. My fantasy team does miss you, as does their owner. But Toronto tonight, that's going to be fun because I like this Toronto team. They're probably playing the best in the East. They're an elite team. They'll be in the playoffs, obviously, and they'll probably go far in the playoffs. But they are a backcourt heavy team. They're very good in the backcourt. I guess they would be in the top five in the backcourt. Their bench is rated top three in the NBA in efficiency, and their front court is number 15. If it's a healthy LaMarcus Aldridge, I have no concerns about this game. Without him, though, I kind of do.
Yeah, once upon a time, before the Blazers got Damian Lillard, I was pretty heavy on the Kyle Lowry bandwagon for Portland grabbing him when he was having troubles in Houston and what have you. And he has really blossomed into a really, really nice scoring point guard. I mean, he's everything you could imagine that he would become. And of course, DeMar DeRozan is just kind of a beast. He's kind of a bull. Not a three-point shooter, but boy, he can score in a lot of other ways. The thing you don't like about him and the thing you bank on with him is that he's inefficient, that if you keep a guy in front of him, that he'll take shots that probably he's not able to make, which you kind of like for the Blazers. That's one of your keys, I think. You let half of their backcourt go off, but you keep the other half contained. And then punishing the front court, as you've identified, is another huge one. The thing about Toronto is, much like the Blazers in a way, it's not about their individuals. It's about their cohesion. So you want to do things to keep their team from functioning right. You want to rebound well. You want to disrupt passes. You want to get back in transition so that they basically don't get anything easy, that no matter where they're going, they end up having to face your defense and it's pretty stiff. Now, obviously, that's true of any team, but especially true of Toronto. There's not just one guy you can key in on and say, if we stop this guy, probably the game is ours. You have to watch their entire backcourt. Their small forwards can shoot. Their big guys are pretty tough. So you just kind of have to play a good, solid team game and do the little things that frustrate them.
That's a very good analysis, too. That's how you do it. Their bench is really good, though. They've got a couple of nice players coming off the bench. Lewis Williams, he's having a bit of a resurgence. I think he's finally healthy. And then you got Grievous Vasquez, who comes off the bench, too. Tough kids. But hammer it inside and take care of business. This could be a night where Joel Freeland has a big night. If LaMarcus isn't playing, he's going to have to. Maybe Myers-Leonard might be effective tonight too. But I still think because they have, they being the Blazers, they have this young fella named Damian Lillard. I think they're going to take care of business Tuesday night against Toronto. I really believe that. Five-point win.
Just say that Myers-Leonard might be effective tonight. Have you been smoking threes, Phil? I mean, that's
kind of, I'm trying to be encouraging here.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, Myers-Leonard might draw somebody out of the lane. That would be the standard hope. But yeah, I'm not sure about the Leonard factor. Maybe it will be there. But Freeland has certainly had a good run. And he will, I'm guessing, almost certainly start no matter what happens, even if Aldridge is there, because, you know, he's just done what the Blazers need, especially this last game. He had almost a Robin Lopez-like line, and he's not quite the interior defender that Lopez is, even though Lopez isn't quite as good as he's hyped up to be either. But, I mean, he's big. And Freeland is also... you know, adequate, I would say. He does his job. That's the best way to put it. And he's getting a ton of rebounds. He's hitting the shots that he's given as an outlet. And as long as he's doing that, what do the Blazers need in the center? That's basically their job description. And Freeland is more than fulfilling it.
I think you're right. I agree with you. And I think he's going to have a big night. The other thing, too, about Toronto is when they play against a smaller lineup, and which will probably be the case tonight, at times, Amir Johnson usually has big nights. He's very aggressive, so they're going to have to find a way to contain him as well. And if they can do that, and I'm sure they will, this is a Toronto loss and a Portland Trail Blazers win, and that's what we want to see because this is a rolling team. I think I was most impressed last week, though, going back and forth like we do.
Sure.
Oklahoma City, that was a very big win because Russell Westbrook went bananas, like he is prone to do, as did Damian Lillard. But this was a very big win, and it kind of solidified what I've believed in this team, and that is this, that they don't back down from anybody. They take the challenge, they'll take a punch in the nose, and they'll deliver two back. And that's why I like this team.
Yeah, absolutely. And no LaMarcus Aldridge in that game, no Kevin Durant in that game, and it was a battle of the point guards. And you saw that when he steps up, which he's starting to do more often, Lillard is every bit as, I don't want to say intimidating, because nobody's as intimidating as Westbrook, but he's every bit as willing to and able to bend a game as Russell Westbrook is. And that's quite a recommendation, because Westbrook is known for that. But Lillard, when you have to ride him, he's more than able to take you to a victory.
Absolutely, he is. He's come into his own, and I want to see him on the All-Star team. And that's the other thing. We want to make sure you guys get out there and vote for the Portland Trail Blazers, especially Damian Lillard, to get in there. I'd like to see you vote for a guy I'm going to be talking about in a few minutes, Wesley Matthews. Got to get them in there, Dave. Got to get them in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Lillard, I think, is a shoe-in. Aldridge is a shoe-in as well. This wasn't true for Lillard last year, but I think really there's too much marketing and publicity invested behind him now to leave him off that team. I think that would be a major omission. And frankly, the Blazers are doing too well. So when he stacked up against some other people that he was either behind or close with last year, I think this year it's much less of a doubt, and I believe he'll make it. I don't think there's any way in heck Wesley Matthews makes this team, but he's kind of your basketball purist coach's choice, looking over there and saying, Mr. Three-Pointer, Mr. Defense, Mr. Post-Up, kind of doing the things, the little things that take pressure off of the two stars, providing that third outlet. I think if you're in the know, you know that Wesley Matthews is really important and doing really well this year. But as far as all-star recognition, there are just too many other guards with bigger names and starting positions on, you know, higher profile starting positions is what I should say, for Matthews to make it.
Plus, he's also a snazzy dresser. I heard that on another podcast, and I thought I'd chime in and let them folks know I listen. Anyway,
wait, there are other podcasts, Phil? I mean, I don't.
Lots of sports ones. And I listen to them because I enjoy radio. Good radio or bad radio, I enjoy it.
But Phil's just indiscriminate. He will listen to anything. He's got tapes of a Wolfman Jack singing, I don't know, Justin Bieber songs, and he's good to go.
I'm good to go, but you know I like Art Bell too in the evenings. I have obviously he's not.
Oh, Art Bell! You did not bring up Art Bell. That's how I grew up.
I love that. I love
that guy was amazing.
I have 9 gigabytes worth of his stuff. And I have a 16 gigabyte thing on my MP3 player, and I plug that little thing in, and I fall asleep to him every night. He was great. When I lived out in Vegas, he was the best. But now we've gotten off into the radio world. But you know something? A lot of you guys checked in with us this week, and this is the question. It's time for...
3 little words. You got mail.
You got mail, baby. Yeah.
Lasers Edge Mailbag.
Yeah, we got this question. Let's play it, Dave.
Hi, this is Tom in Hawaii. I was just listening to the BS report with Bill Simmons and Zach Lowe, and they said the Blazers are a championship contender and could use Jeff Green. I don't think Neil Olshey has the stones to make a mid-season move. Do you think he's got the stones to make a mid-season move, and would Jeff Green put the Blazers over the hump to be a champion this year? Thanks and goodbye.
What's the big deal with trading for Jeff Green? Everybody seems to want to trade for Jeff Green. I don't see it. I don't get it.
Well, I mean, there are multiple layers to this question. First of all, Tom in Hawaii, old school Blazers Edge reader. I mean, back to the prehistoric foundations. I miss that guy. That guy's great. Second of all, does Neil Olshey have the stones? I don't think it's a matter of stones, frankly. I think it's a matter of this team, you know, as you kind of identified, having to prove where it is. And they've obviously proven that, but the thing is that they've proven it so well that how much do you want to mess with the recipe? I think if the right move is out there, I think Olshey would certainly make a move, but I don't think he feels any pressure to make one just to make the team better, because the team is pretty better right now. As to whether Jeff Green is that move, you know, I've liked Jeff Green since he was a rookie. I mean, he's been through some up years and down years, but really he's multi-talented. His skill set, I think, would pretty much fit in. He's developed the three-point shot over his career. He's able to score, obviously. He's not a bad defender. I mean, let's put it this way. There's not much that I don't like about his game. I still like what he does. Here's the thing, though, with Green at this point in his career. He's 28 years old in his prime. He's starting. And granted, he's starting for the Celtics now, but the Celtics were better when he started there. He's not in a position, I think, where he can say, I'm going to give up, say, 10 minutes a game, and I'm going to give up my starting spot to come off the bench for anybody, even probably for a title. And he really is, I mean, he's a small forward, he's a power forward, what is he? He's kind of a swing forward, which is attractive, but... I don't know. I don't think that he's going to replace either what LaMarcus Aldridge does or Nicola Batum does. And I don't think he's going to be that hold steady guy that, say, a Darrell Wright might be or Joel Freeland might be, where, you know, he doesn't have to shine in order to prosper. So I just think, even though I love Green, it's probably not exactly the right fit just for his stage of career and how much he can give. I don't think he's content in that bubble, and I don't think you'll see the best of Jeff Green if he comes into that role.
That's a very good way of putting all that. See, I would just say no and move on. But Tom from Hawaii, you are a great reader, great commenter. We're really happy that you called in. I don't see what you see with Green. Okay, he's a decent player, but again, he's not going to give up those minutes. He needs those minutes. He wants another contract, and he wants a big contract, obviously. And, well, I don't think he's going to get that playing in Portland because there's no room for him. He doesn't want to come off the bench, I'm sure of that, but or I'm as sure as I can be. I don't know him personally, of course. He does some nice things. He's an upgrade over Myers Leonard. Maybe Boston will take Myers Leonard for him. If he does, I say make the trade.
Well, I mean, they'll be looking to dump, you know, potential salary. I mean, I guess his contract is, you know, he has a player option, but I think he's probably not going to take that, I'm guessing, since his career's on an upswing. He's making about $9.5 million, which is actually a reasonable price for him. But the problem is, as you say, you're going to have to pay through the nose next year. The Blazers could do that. I mean, it's not impossible. I think he's actually a player who is gettable. I, unlike some suggestions, I think the Blazers could get him. It's a stretch, but it could happen. It's one of those things where almost anybody you bring into this team is going to be better. This team makes people better. But Green, or a player in his position in the prime of their career who's a starter, I think is the one exception to that, because they're just not going to get better with fewer minutes and a lesser role. Not because they wouldn't fill it well, but because that's not their job in this league right now. If Green were 30, 32, I think you could make this argument. If Green were 24, I really think you could make this argument. But right where he needs to be making his money and doing his best in this league is not the time to put him as a reserve forward behind Aldridge and Batum.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we again want to thank you, Tom, for calling in. And if you want to have your question possibly answered on the Blazers Edge podcast, the number is 234-738-3394. And that number you can get in the show notes on all the sites that we're at. And obviously you can get it by listening to the show. And that concludes that for this week. Man, I'm looking forward to the Atlanta game on Saturday, too.
Yeah, I mean, they are playing well, kind of a sneaker team in the East. And, you know, I like what Atlanta does. And I like teams like Atlanta, frankly. Ask me who I'm really up to play, you know, for the Blazers to play, I should say. Obviously, beating the Lakers never, ever gets old. At this point, since I've known you, beating the Knicks is not getting old.
Okay, that's fair enough. That.
But, you know, you have the obvious ones, like the Spurs, like the Rockets, and like the Grizzlies and Warriors, okay? But I like a team like the Hawks, who really are kind of gritty, really are manufacturing their success. They're not riding talent. They weren't expected to be great. They weren't mentioned preseason. Just their team that everybody forgets about. And look, they're taking the NBA, grabbing it by the collar and saying, don't forget about us. We are getting some wins here. And, you know, that's how the Blazers, I think, had to come up. Nobody was going to give them anything. They weren't going to win on individual star talent alone. And then look, the Hawks are 22-8 and taking it to the rest of the league. And you got to love it. I love playing teams like that. And I'm glad to see Al Horford back, frankly. I think obviously he was a huge key. And I love that guy too. I wish there was a way that the Blazers could have worked him in at some point, because I'd just love to watch him play every night. But, you know, Jeff Teague, he's a good guy. Paul Millsap from Utah obviously was their big pickup. He did real well. And, you know, some of their younger guys, yes, no, eh. But overall as a team, I just like them.
I really like them. I do a weekly report every Monday, Atlanta Hawks, with Chris Willis from Peachtree Hoops. He comes on my daily show. We can talk about that podcast mm-hmm. on the show. Sure. And he comes on, and because we won't mention any others any longer, but that one we can. And anyhow, I've learned a lot about the Hawks, and one thing I've learned is they're a very resilient bunch. That coach over there has done a fantastic job. He's another one of those San Antonio Spurs former assistant coaches, Budenholzer, mm-hmm. and he's done a good job to change the culture over there. He's gotten these guys to play this shoot 'em up style of basketball. He's got Kyle Korver. He's just turned him loose. Damari Carroll, he's kind of resurged his career. Horford's still a little bit fragile, but Paul Millsap is a beast, and Jeff Teague is coming into his own. He's not at the same level as Damian Lillard, but he's close, and he's a nice player. And then they have this kid coming off the bench named Shelvin Mack, and they got another one named Schroeder, they're not a bad little basketball team. This is going to be a very good challenge for or a good test for Portland. Not about their veracity or their authenticity, I should say, of how to verify their record and validate their record, because that's not going to happen. They've already done that. But this is going to be a good test because they play a little more unique style of play. They're quicker, and they shoot. And it's going to be fun on Saturday night.
Well, the nice thing, too, is that the Blazers get their first test against these premium Eastern Conference teams at home, which is where you want it. I mean, you want to feel them out when they're in your building and you have the advantage, and then you see what they're about and you go on the road. And I think the Blazers, things have fallen well for them in that vein. In most ways, too. I mean, the one team that sticks out that they didn't get a chance to look at home first was the Houston Rockets, and Houston shellacked them. But you knew that was coming anyway, with no LaMarcus Aldridge and no motivation for playoff revenge from Portland, but it was there for Houston. You kind of knew road game number one against the Rockets was going to be a loss. But Toronto, Atlanta, you get to see them in your building. You get to hopefully collect a W, and then you get to go on the road, and the pressure's on them. And you know what they play like. You know how to beat them, and maybe you sneak in one of those road wins as well. And I think that the Blazers kind of benefited from that a little bit. I mean, they saw Memphis for the first time at home, San Antonio for the first time at home. And it's nice. It works out that way. So, things are falling well for the Blazers, and Portland should take advantage.
They really should, and I think you made a great observation. It's a lot better to play them the first time at home than it is on the road, and because teams play a lot different at home, and it's a good thing. This is going to be a fun week of basketball coming up. You know, it's time for
Blazers Edge Player of the Week.
Ah, here we go. It's Player of the Week time, and I am going to choose as my Portland Trail Blazer of the Week. Are you ready for this, Dave?
Sure.
Wesley Matthews.
Oh, there's a surprise.
He's my favorite Blazer. Hey, I saw it. I was on eBay the other day, and I don't know if this is authentic or not, but there is a hat over there signed by Wesley Matthews for $12.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's about Wes's contract too. So good. No, actually, he got a pretty good one for a rookie. So it's his contract now compared to what he's going to. What he's going to be like next year. His value is going way up. That's the scary thing for Portland, is that he's realized his own worth and where he can fit in, and he's fitting in real well with the Blazers. So, he's going to get pretty expensive. So you better grab that $12 hat when you can.
Yeah, I think I will, but because it's a nice one, one of those scrunchy ones I can put in my bag, and it'll be nice when I wear it to do my shows. Because I'm a Portland Trailblazer guy. I got a T-shirt. I got everything now. I'm rocking and rolling. But let's get back to Portland. And let's get back to Wesley Matthews. And what a fantastic stretch he had during this week, this past week. He averaged 25 points a night, 2.3 rebounds, 3 assists. He was 48% from beyond the arc. And currently, Wesley Matthews has the most three-pointers made in the NBA. Case closed. He's my player of the week. And I know you have somebody better, probably. Oh, this, I can't wait to hear what this is going to be.
There is nobody else. I mean, Matthews would have been mine. Obviously, you can always go with Lillard. But Chris Kaman has been on and off struggling. Nicola Batum has actually upsurged a little bit the last couple games, but hasn't put it together all the way. Steve Blake has been eh. And the young guards are the young guards. They go up and down. There's not anybody really left, but if I have to pick somebody different, I think I'll go with Joel Freeland, not because he has the stats of Matthews. He's got like a third of the stats of Matthews, but because Freeland has stepped in to that starting role and has really performed really well, especially in his last game. But he's given the Blazers what they need, which is holding the fort, which is rebounding and scoring opportunistically, and his defense has actually been pretty good. So, you know, he's not Wesley Matthews. You are right. I concede this battle. You win. It is Matthews. He's the player of the week. But Freeland will be my choice just because of his heartwarming contributions and the fact that he stepped up when the Blazers have needed him.
I almost went with Coach Stotts. I thought about it because, yeah, you know, he's done some good coaching without LaMarcus and without Robin Lopez. He's done some good work, and I tip my hat to him every week. I mean, he's fantastic, but Wesley got him.
I'll tell you what this is with Coach Stotts. A couple years ago, we got a deep fryer, you know, one of those portable ones, but we'd never had it before, right? So we do the usual thing. We make some French fries, we make whatever, batter some stuff. And then, you know, we started looking around at each other. It was a big group gathering, and we said, wonder what else you can deep fry. And so we were taking, you know, we were taking Oreos, we were taking taffy, we were taking anything we could find, battering it up and sticking it in this deep fryer to see how it tastes. And of course, since it was deep fried, it all tasted good. That's about how the Blazers system is running right now. Coach Stotts has fired up the deep fryer. He can batter up any player he wants, stick him in there, and it's going to be pretty good because the system is just running that well. And by the way, those of you who are contemplating trades in this trade season, the bar is a lot lower than it used to be. I remember a few years ago, we were talking about the Blazers needed a very specific type of player or two, and that was it. And anyone who didn't fit that bill was out. Now the Blazers just need somebody with a couple decent skills to fit into a position, and Portland can make that player look good. That's what Coach Stotts has done and these players have done for you. They've opened up the field so that a lot of different guys can perform well in it. And Freeland is example A. I think some of what C.J. McCollum and Alan Crabb have done, examples B and C. I mean, Steve Blake, obviously. Chris Kaman, you should circle in red because that guy looks better this year than he has since he was playing for the Clippers and was an all-star. So it's amazing what Coach Stotts has done. We say that a lot, but basically he's golden right now. He can put anybody in there and they're going to look pretty good.
Well, I agree with you. And one guy I would love to see the Portland Trail Blazers try to get is Gerald Green from Phoenix. He would be great. He would be great off the bench. He's only good for threes, and not much else, but he might be all right. You probably have someone in mind besides Mirotić, right?
Pat Patterson from Toronto. I like him. Green is obviously, he would be great. He would stick out a little bit because of his shot selection. He's not entirely Blazer friendly in terms of his team concept, but I think off the bench, especially, the Blazers can absorb a little bit of selfishness. And as we've talked about, and I don't think this applies to Green necessarily, but it used to, the Blazers could absorb a little bit of a head case or to take a risk on somebody who's out there a little bit, because they're pretty smooth as far as personalities and chemistry goes. They can stand a kick in the pants a little bit, a guy who's going to light a huge fire. Matthews does some of that, but, you know, having a guy come off the bench and just strut a little bit would be kind of sweet. And the Blazers could take a chance on Green if the Suns would give him up, which I don't think they would. But I would like that guy.
He's a decent one. I think he's fantastic. I'll tell you, this show's been fantastic. Well done. Well done this week. Thank you for being on your own show.
Well, thank you for hosting us and providing the radio expertise. And you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to, with this call-in line, we'll have to get it east of the Rockies and west of the Rockies call-in line.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we could do that. I could pretend to be Art Bell a little bit. I like that. That's a great idea. I didn't know that you were a Bell guy. That's something. We learn something every week.
That's right.
That's Phil
and I were hatched out of the same egg. That's that's how this came about.
In most cases, yeah, I think you're right. Well, that was great stuff, and this has been a great time talking Portland Trail Blazers basketball. Please remember that there's Blazers Edge Night, and we need your help. $13 sends a kid to a game on the 30th of March. It's the Phoenix Suns And you get to see Gerald Green if he's not in a Portland Trailblazers uniform by then. We're going to try to trump for that, though. And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. And if you can, leave a review. And we want to thank everyone out there who has left reviews. Great stuff. You nailed it. You really did. And we appreciate it and you. You can also subscribe at Stitcher. It's an application for your phone. And you can listen. It turns your phone into a radio receiver. You don't even need to be online to listen to the show. And that's fantastic. Other than that, for the Exalted Poobah, I'm Phil Nasons. We want to wish you all a happy and prosperous 2015. And we're looking for a lot more great stuff out of our Portland Trailblazers. Until next week, he's Dave Deckard. I'm Phil Nasons. You've just listened to the Blazers Edge Podcast. Rip City! We'll be right back.